I'm Nicolien Berger.
And I'm Jona Vosloo.
And this is Erit.
So, we made merch by accident.
We were brainstorming merch ideas for Erit podcast and realized we already had merch.
Margot Loebscher makes posts for our Instagram by listening to our episodes and translating it visually to represent the ideas and concepts that were aired out on a podcast.
We realized that these artworks are so beautiful, we would hang them on our own walls.
So then we went from posts to prints. Now our prints can also hang on your walls, or you can even gift them to a friend. They are a limited edition of 10 prints each, so they are very special. And we will be creating different prints as the time goes by.
They're hand-signed and you can find them on a strange shop called Casual Sex that supports South African artists. And this is, by the way, a great way to support Erit Podcast.
Be sure to check out our newsletter for the latest print offerings.
Happy 2022, everyone. We haven't recorded in a while, but Jana and I are here today to record a really special episode, or bring you a special episode, and that's an experiment that we did recently with a lot of people. So how it happened was Stephanie and Sara from That Eclectic listened to our episodes with Mandri and the one before that on the White Wedding, and were really fascinated by the themes and actually decided to act on our prompt to invite us to come do this performance again. So that was very interesting, and they created around this performance of the wedding that Mandri and I then did again in Stellenbosch, and they created this beautiful event where so many artists collaborated. Like, the food was collaborated with an artist that works with food, and there was a really beautiful projection and installations and flowers. Like, a massive team of people created the full wedding experience with awkward pre-drinks all the way to the party at the end. So it was incredible. So you can go listen to the previous parts. This is the third part of an episode, like multiple episodes we did on the wedding. And you can go listen back to that. But just to give you a short summary, this idea started from a performance that Mandri and I did in our house in Fishhook, a house performance, and it was really exciting because afterwards people had so many thoughts that they wanted to share that we decided that we might try something like this in the future. But Jana will get to that part soon. The performance itself was a very immersive experience. So the audience participated from the beginning. They bought a ticket, but it looked like a wedding invitation. And then they got there and it was like a wedding, you know, people you don't know standing around awkwardly making chats, and the eclectic team weaving themselves in between, just creating their magic with some kombucha and some snacks. And then they sat down for the ceremony, and this is where the performance Lilith and Lesbeth was repeated. So it was interesting also for us to engage with the audience so vulnerably and get so up close to them, because it was a mix of people from Cape Town and Stellenbosch and all over the Western Cape, I think. But they were thrown into the deep end. Like, they had to eat the cake off my body and watch Mandri as she cuts up her dress. And we really went in there with triggering content and, like, exposed our thoughts and our criticisms and our judgments and what we struggle with in terms of the white wedding in front of these people in a live setting. So what you're going to hear today, just keep that in mind. Keep that charged vulnerability in mind.
Yeah. Okay, so hello everyone. Happy 2022 from me as well.
That's a long pre-ramble.
No, that was amazing. I just got like so many fond memories that came back to me from that. So I'm talking from the perspective of an audience member. So I did the podcast recordings with Nicolien and Mandri, and I felt like I had a lot of behind the scenes info and ideas around the performance. But even with that, it was still such a captivating and intense and even at times triggering performance for myself as an audience member to sit through. And what I remembered from the first performance in at Nicolene's house in Fishhook was that afterwards, it wasn't like the performance ended and people were just talking about everyday things. Like, everyone was so... the performance was so provocative that everyone was really discussing, like, ideas, like, what do they value about a marriage and wedding rituals? You know, what are maybe some of their very personal stories related to it? What are some of their criticisms of the whole wedding industry, etc., etc.? So very loaded conversations came from these performances, which was obviously also the goal.
Mm.
But it was so fascinating to hear. And that's why we kind of got this idea to record those things after. We thought it would be so interesting to actually record it, because it's like the type of things we say, but now there's a broader audience and we can actually get so much input and new insights. So what happened was, at this event, at the reception part of the wedding,
the party,
where there was also a cash bar involved, we had this little booth, and we almost saw it as like a confession booth where you can go and confess your ideas about weddings and wedding rituals. And I was fortunate enough to sit behind a mic and to just listen. At some stage, one of the participants told me that they feel like they're in a therapy session, but they're not. And I also told them, like, I feel like I'm a psychologist now, but I'm not at all. I'm just like, so, it's so interesting. And it was like, so cool to be in a way a fly on the wall for to hear all these thoughts. So what we did was, people could come in into this booth, and it actually had a glass window, so it almost looked like a radio, what do you call it, like a radio booth of a recording, you know, in a recording studio, where you can see there's people inside recording but you can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
And likewise, we could see the outside of the event.
I just wanted to add that this also happened in a very old Stellenbosch Cape Dutch house, and there was a stoop, and the entire event was woven through this very interesting architectural place also to do this. So the stoop, you can go check on my website, there's images, and on Instagram, on That Eclectic, the images you'll see, there's a stoop, and it happened in that stoop, was the confession
booth.
Yeah,
like in a courtyard almost. Then my job was to, at the reception, I had to go and convince people to come speak to me about their ideas. And Margot, our square designer, came up with a brilliant plan. In retrospect, it might have not been the most brilliant plan, but we offered our participants a shot of tequila if they come to talk to us. But a lot of them also actually just came freely and really enjoyed it. But I have to say that this conversation took part after a few drinks. As you know, that time of the wedding where everyone just starts talking very openly and freely.
And now the person you met in the beginning is your best friend, and you're dancing in the middle of the circle with them.
Exactly. So just to kind of wrap up this preamble to the actual recording, my approach was to just ask questions and then hear what people say, and then every now and then I kind of responded. But the core questions that I asked them were, what did the performance evoke in you? Because this was after the performance and after their drinks and everything. And then the other question was, what are your ideas on wedding rituals and even just the broader concept of marriage? And then I also asked them whether there was any, they experienced some kind of shift after watching the performance. So maybe they changed their mind on something, or they learned, they thought about something in a new way, or if maybe it just affirmed something that they already felt, and they maybe the performance was a way to give them some kind of clarity or a sense of belonging in terms of ideas that are not often spoken about.
Mm.
So the downside the blooper bit of this was that we didn't really consider the recording quality when you have a DJ in the background and the confession booth right next to it.
We did, but there weren't any other way.
We thought about it, and then we kind of just went with it.
It still had to happen. The house was too small to keep things separate. It was also on the way to a bathroom, so people had to like squeeze past to go to the bathroom.
It was very intimate. But So unfortunately, a lot of what was recorded is inaudible, or is a little bit excruciating to listen to, and we don't want to put you through an hour and 6 minutes of that. But we also don't want to miss this opportunity to share what people told us and the ideas that came out of it. So we've compiled a kind of short mashup of the core ideas, and we just wanted to contextualize it for you so that it's not completely random. But I think the background sound will still give you an idea of the vibiness of the event.
Mm.
And maybe just, you know, listen to it on loud, or if like, think about how you want to listen to it. But yeah, we are very keen to hear what you think, and we really enjoyed this experience, and we look forward to doing more similar things like this. So without further ado, here is the mashup of what happened at
that wedding.
At that wedding, in collaboration with That Eclectic. So what are you struggling with about marriage?
I think it's, I struggle to see the performance of it. Like, obviously
the
there's an expectation from my parents, from her parents, and I can't see everyone being satisfied, although it's supposed to be our day, but it doesn't feel like it. And my family also have expectations. My mother is also Afrikaans from the Eastern Cape with all her baggage. My dad is a bit more chill though.
Yeah.
That's where it's slightly easier, but I also have that fear of stelling te leer the parents.
Stelling the parents to leer.
Stelling the parents to leer.
Big facts. Give it into the...
into the big mic. Stelling the parents to leer.
It's not like...
It's
like
not
the,
like... No.
Like
okay.
Okay. And going forward, what would you want... Is there anything you would want to... That you feel like... the broader community should take away about this kind of critical stimulation about throwing.
Mm. I think it's a re-acknowledgement that there's a shift in the younger community, that we want different things. We don't necessarily want the formalities. It's actually about the wedding day, and that should be about the couple. And I think people are starting to realize, wach, wach, a biki. It is actually not always about the couple. And I think the performance was pointed that out for me as well. And I just think a bit about that, like, what will I really want? And I think, I hope that a lot of people in the crowd thought that as well. Like, really imagining what do you really want?
This weird elephant in the room that everyone wants to talk about, but no one knows if there's a space for it. And I feel like this, and you guys created a space for it.
Wow, that's amazing to hear. So, I mean, why do you, like you said, like, there's different stages of the commitment, but it almost feels as if it's this inevitable thing that needs to happen. Like, what are your personal views on marriage and weddings, and like, how has this maybe impacted it?
I think personally, my parents aren't very traditional, they are Afrikaans. But there's a lot of room, and I've always been like a bit of a different kid. And they've never forced me to be something else. That's been lovely, and I'm very grateful for that. But there's definitely this like chatter, like, oh guys, it's wedding season, we're done on the 21st, we're done with all of that from varsity, now it's this. And then the first person gets married, it's like, oh shit, it's starting now, everyone's going to get married, are you, like, what are your plans? Like, but personally, I don't see why love needs black and white paper.
Yeah, so the legalities of it.
No, there's beauty in committing to something, but love also isn't, it is a commitment to me, but I don't know, I think marriage takes away from what love is supposed to be.
Using our language to reflect the realities of the like variety of kinds of marriages and unions that exist. So that it's not just like this word is so, there's like a conforming side of it maybe.
Exactly. exactly that, and also not overcomplicating it too much, like not having like 4, 5, 6, 7 different words for the coming together of a gay couple, the coming together of this kind of a couple, this kind of a couple, open, you know,
yeah,
open relationship couple, but rather just like whether there's a contract or not. For me, that's as simple as it is.
The performance evoked the sense of realness and authenticity of the position of white women getting married traditionally, opposed to the sense of reality within female position in general. Something that has greatly to do with historical ceremonies as opposed to new age marriage.
Okay, so what does new age marriage mean to you?
It's basically the same sort of ritual, but it's not forced upon. I feel like times are changing and evolving around more female awareness and less male-dominated ceremony. And
okay,
I think they just left an interesting opinion on how things used to be, but they also bring it to today's ceremonies where families still have the same mindset of something that's supposed to be left back with changing and evolving as traditional white weddings. Embrace and be aware of the relationship and go what feels comfortable for everyone. Some people just want to get married like as soon as possible, whereas others rather want to take time to embrace each other and do things differently. Maybe two couples are in the same relationship but they have different backgrounds, different histories, and that's fine. And then you don't have to stick to a white wedding or a Hindu wedding or anything like that. I feel like it's more about the embrace than the actual ceremony. And the great thing about this show was that they bring out the humor of the seriousness that we all used to associate with weddings.
Yeah, so they kind of...
So they call it as it is, you know.
Like that will fawn awkward moments, but it's real there.
It's real.
It's actually a joke.
Exactly. But I mean, life is humorous in general. And I think what this show does well is it puts the humor in the seriousness. And it takes... It like takes you head on with some serious facts like religion. Once you mention God's name, you get a frown on some people's faces and a smile on others. And I think that's what made this show interesting, was it was engaging with the crowd, it was experimental, you were testing people's boundaries, but you lifted them at the same time, and at the end everyone came together and laughed.
Yeah.
Because everyone realized that this isn't so serious as it should be. And I think that's the great thing about the show, and that's something that Mandri and Nicolene really put forward really well.
Is it there any reading in the book?
I don't know. I could rather just think it's a comedy.
Okay.
My ears was now. Okay. We feel like you're English bro.
I can English bro.
Okay, you too.
I've had my gripes with the recipe of Afrikaner weddings for a long time, for various reasons, and don't need to get into any of them. But seeing the recipe kind of deconstructed in a way, but from a woman's perspective, was eye-opening. It's all the same things that feature, but like it means something else. Like the reason for not liking the recipe for me, and the reasons for not liking the recipe for the bride, and the brides-to-be and the brides that were, it's completely different.
I love this recipe analogy when it comes to weddings, because it's so true. Like, so like what about the recipe bothers you, if you want to share?
For for me, it's almost just the fact that it is such a recipe, that it's put out there as a recipe, that it's this big event, and that's part of a recipe as well. It's part of a life, you know. You have to, like, go to university, get out of university, get married, have children. Get the gold watch and die. And that's not a life. Like, I mean, it is a life. It's the recipe for a life. But it's not gonna, like, fit every person. And so many people are made to feel invalidated for not following that exact recipe. And I think that's also something that features, like, these two brides find some validation in it, but they both realize also that that validation is empty. That validation is not, like, the real thing. They still have all the same worries, they still have all the same wants, hopes, desires, before and after. It's not a fulfillment.
Yeah.
And in the same way that that fits into life, for me, the celebration of two people who really choose each other shouldn't be a recipe. It shouldn't be, like, diluted into that little thing where you just, like, have a performance for everybody to prove it.
Well, for me, I think, like, I've been very lucky in terms of the way that I get to interact with my parents and my, I mean, I've had a close cultural sphere or a close, like, network of families that I grew up with in Botswana, where we had, like, a few family groups that we'd spend every weekend together and go camping with and things like that. But they are very traditionally British people.
Okay.
And that's the weird thing for me, because, like, my whole family's ancestry has been in South Africa since the 1700s, essentially. So, yeah, so I don't really have any connection to where we come from. I don't have a cultural connection to Scotland. I don't know what my history is supposed to be like. But I have these people that are close to me, and we have this traditional history of, you have to be a woman, and you have to do things in a ladylike way, and you have to more than likely get married at some point, which is not something that it's obviously something that I've thought about since I was a kid, because women are supposed to think about that shit. You're supposed to idealize getting married and having a white dress and all of that shit. But it's never been something that inherently makes sense to me. And so tonight, watching this performance in which we could have a critique on the traditional white wedding, for me it was phenomenal. What this event essentially meant for me, I was speaking to Nicolene about it, is that we had the opportunity to celebrate a wedding. We had this opportunity to celebrate this kind of event of bringing together a celebration of love in which we could openly understand and speak about what it actually means for a woman. So, like, when you get together with people and you, like, when you have a wedding, you usually are looking at it as a celebration of love. But tonight what we could do is speak about what a wedding actually means for a woman, and weddings usually mean selling a woman off. And I mean, even if it's not something that is a sale, it is, like she was saying, in the performance, a way of signifying that a woman is now moving from one family to another. Now they can sleep in the same bed because they're married. Now they can do whatever they want because they're married. And that means now this woman has agency over her own sexual and lived experience, because she is contractually obliged to another man. And tonight we got to critique that and speak about it. And now, with this party, we're celebrating the fact that a woman hasn't been sold off. A woman hasn't been, like, put under this microcosm, this microscope of, you have changed hands.
Yeah.
Why is that important to me? I don't like feeling owned. I think a shift that took place is just that I was given the privilege of being in a space where we can talk about this issue openly. Oh, we could see a fucking hilarious, just funny exposition about this topic, instead of like a stifled conversation around a Christmas table with your family going, when are you gonna get married? Like, I just really appreciated the opportunity to listen and see and experience these people talking about a subject which isn't spoken about. It's expected. You're expected to talk about marriage. You're expected to marry the person that you've been in a relationship with for a long time.
So at the end of this recording, we just really want to thank everyone that contributed to this event. I want to personally thank the ERA team, Margo and Jana, that so courageously coaxed people into sharing their deepest thoughts and feelings about this experience. And then please check out that Eclectic on Instagram. They're absolutely amazing. You can find in their bio links to more content that they created about this event, including a beautiful article that lists all the participants and really gives you an immersive lowdown and documentation of what took place around just the performance, because it was really incredible. So another thing is, subscribe to our newsletter that we've started sending out recently, because we want to do more of these in the moment recordings, and then you can check out the events that ERA collaborate with during the year, which is an intention of ours, and come become part of the collaboration, adding to our podcast. That would be lovely to also meet you at those events.
And then just from my side, I want to encourage you to, you know, continue this conversation. Maybe once again, some of these participants said something that you feel the same about, agree or disagree or whatever. So, and you are also welcome to contact us on our Instagram page to share some ideas. You can even send us a voice note if you want to add to this theme of voice recordings. So we hope you enjoyed this bonus episode, and we'll be back with more content before you know it. ERID is a team effort. It is produced by Nicoline Berger and Jana Vosloo. Morgan Loebscher contributes visually by creating beautiful artworks and social media content.
Tabu Krokom produced the intro and outro music. And reach out to us if you have an idea of how ERID can expand.
And remember,
stay stimulated.